Paulina is going to provide some additional information. We have been meeting about three times a week, along with the COVID task force. We have Mayday COVID-19 task force. There's going to be some programming that's going to be typed out of the Pacifica YouTube channel beginning tonight, I think at midnight, and Paulina will clarify. We also are in the process of going and developing a multimedia platform to present COVID-19 task force programming. We also have an international piece. We also have the complete buy-in of the affiliates network, and Heather could provide some information on that. But we are moving forward. We are developing a format to present to the GMs and the PDs. And thanks Ron for that idea. And then we also are developing a press release. So we realize that this virus and this coronavirus pandemic is not going to go away overnight. We want to address the disparities. We want to address the fatalities. We want to address fresh programming and additional branding for Pacifica, and use this pandemic, this public health pandemic, as an opportunity for us to provide fresh programming. And we're hoping that other than the three stations have bought in, that the additional two stations as well buy in. So that's why we're going to be writing an email to the PDs with a format and with a press release, and we're hoping that they respond positively. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Paulina. Paulina, you want to talk about the website?
Sure. So we have two websites that Otis McLay has facilitated for us. That's mayday.pacifica.org, which is up and running, and it's beautifully designed by a colleague of Steve Zeltzer's, Nobu Akiyoshi, who's done a great job, and that's up and running, and that is now going to be streaming the Pacifica the Foundation TV YouTube channel, which will be embedded into the website, or it already is, as well as many different broadcasts from across the world for May Day. Now, for the Pacifica COVID Task Force, that's a project that's more long-term and perhaps more ambitious. We're hoping to have a one-hour a day a week national programming that we will be working with the CDs and the GMs on to make sure that they are part of the loop and facilitate it as well as contribute to the creation of the teams that will be working on each hour at each station. I think that we can take that up later. For the sake of time, I think that at this point, the only thing we need is to make sure that every member of this body promotes the YouTube channel that we already have, make sure that we get more viewership. And it's more of a multimedia program at this point, as well as, I'll be done in touch. Somebody's speaking while I'm speaking, so I'm, yeah. Otis said that he would facilitate streaming as well, audio streaming on pacifica.org for May Day, and then we can talk at a different time about the what's already been approved by this board, the project for a national programming hour on COVID-19.
Can I add something real quick, Paulina? So I wanted to add that the directors and the affiliate directors, we're looking for volunteers Anybody that has talent or anybody that's willing to be trained, Paulina's going to be providing a Zoom training in regards to editing, social media, and the such. I also want to recognize the committee members, Ron Pinchback, Heather Gray, Michael Novick, Steve Zelsa, Bernay V. Brown, Akua Holt from KPFT, and Mitchell Cohen from WBAI. Thank you, Chair, for allowing us to do this report.
Thank you for the work you're doing. If we have any time, we may have a question or two. Is there any time left on this item?
Apologies, Mr. Chair. This is your timekeeper. I'm actually I was not keeping time for this item. I apologize. Something came up.
Okay. If anybody wants to ask a question, I'll take one. I'll let one person go. Okay, then let's move on to the report from the IED. Lydia?
Yes, so the good news on the loans is that I spent part of last week speaking to everybody, the other banks, with which we do business and have bank accounts and so forth, to get information as to whether we should apply at a smaller bank because we were getting variation, and that we had not heard anything definitive. And so the good news is, and several Congress people, the California Senator's office, et cetera, and the good news is that finally today, well, let me backtrack. Finally, yesterday, first I had heard from the top staffer of our California Senator Harris, that things were moving now. And I had also previously heard that California was going to get more money than it did in the last loan cycle. You had also shared that with me. So yesterday we did hear from our banker at Bank of America that we were officially, we've always been in the Bank of America queue, we had a number and so forth, and during this past time, that was April 3rd that we applied, we were among, we thought very much so among the first, excuse me, and so during that time, Bank of America reviewed our application, asked for more documentation and so forth. Presumably with full confidence that we would be approved, it was moved on to, now that this additional aid package was passed, it was moved on to the Treasury queue where we can actually get the money. And so the fact that it wasn't rejected means that they still have the money to give us. That was confirmed by the bank. And so that's excellent, because if the BOA didn't find any flaws in our application and that we completely comply, then, you know, we're officially in that Treasury queue. We had also, as I had mentioned before, applied for the disaster loan small business application that we filed in California, which they had had been touted as soon as when you apply, just the action of applying, the mere fact that we would apply, we would get a $10,000. We had not seen that or had any other communication with them. We called, by the way, we called every day. We're driving everyone nuts. And today there was an added $10,000 in the bank from that loan. That is not the amount of the loan, but what it says is that we're moving forward and that we are definitely there. Even though we had these confirmed numbers and so forth, but I had received, you know, the other information from the senator's person saying now things are moving. Was almost simultaneously happened when they actually started moving. So I was very, and we're, again, just keeping our fingers crossed. I don't like to jump to any incredible conclusion, but I do feel very optimistic. Anyway, so that's one. As far as the question about whether we made payroll, we did at all of our stations. WBAI was $400 short. However, they paid $3,000 toward what they were short last month. So, you know, altogether gave, you know, twice their payroll, actually, almost. And so that was all very good news, and they should have the other 400 in just a matter of days. So for all intents and purposes, the payroll is paid. As far as the sidebands go, one of the issues, I have been trying to follow up on the sideband issue. Like, since I left, there are apparently different sideband users and so forth. And I've only seen two checks, one last month and for the past 2 months from the LA sideband. And then I have not, and then I saw one yesterday, and that was a separate one. So then that immediately I contacted NETA, and then she referred something to John O'Malley, who deals with the sidebands technically and is also privy to some of their payments and so forth. But it comes to, I came to find out that they were in arrears. Some of them were in arrears, and NETA was not aware or had not kept tabs on or whatever it is. I'll send the board the email that I received, which means some of this may have to do with the forwarding of the mail and the change of address, which takes up a great deal of my time and effort to do that, but I think we'll get all that drained out. But some of this was in arrears prior to that, and that will have some bearing on how we structure this FBA question. Because if that's been a pattern, then how do you adjust for the shortfall at the national or at the local station? So it just makes figuring out a process for what was proposed by the LSB more complicated. And I have a feeling that the LSBs and many on the Finance Committee are not aware of how these things go, and they have to think all the way through to the end. It's fine as long as you're getting all this money. It's not as fine when you're not getting it in a timely fashion. But at least now I've got the ball rolling. I've written to Tamara at NETA, just clarifying again, okay, they're in arrears this much. Does that mean this is what they pay monthly, and I need the contact information for all of them because I need to get in touch with them and see if maybe they sent it and it was deposited at one of the stations, either in Berkeley or LA, erroneously, or it was lost in the mail, whatever it is. Anyway, so we're getting there with the sidebands. At the end of this, there should be a full report on that. As far as the bylaws discussion, I understand what Jan is saying, and I'm not opposed to what she's proposing, by the way. I think it's what Jan has said is well taken. Not rescinding the motion about the bylaws, but that something can be done concurrently, and so I hope to contact Jan. This has been a real head break. Like I've been trying to figure out how to do this. I think I'm going to call Jan, which I know she's open to actually write out the amendment to the Articles of Incorporation that may be done consecutively. And what I was trying to find the past few days is, and I think it was in 2015 or 2016, or I imagined it, but no, I'm pretty sure, that there have been proposed bylaws that are contingent on the passage of another bylaws proposal proposed in the same cycle. So in other words, it's written that if one passes, then this is the article that's going to be proposed, and therefore that can be done simultaneously. So I'll work with Jen, because I don't see why we couldn't include it in this ballot if necessary, but I'm still a little fuzzy. Okay, on that one. As far as the COVID-19 programming, I think they reported last week. Verna Avery Brown gave a very eloquent presentation to the GMs and the PDs and the unit managers, which included archives and affiliates, and affiliates are to play a significant role in this as well. And they, I have this week also appealed to the GMs to please identify a producer at each station that can do this. This is not being done in a vacuum or as a satellite thing outside of the station structure, just so folks understand that. What we are in need of is like a general executive producer coordinator to make sure that all of it works technically, for example. And we do have our technical staff on it as well. So I think that that will be happening. And that's about it. If people have any questions, please go ahead.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Oh, and I just want to add also, I can't make this bylaws proposal. I'll be formatting it in the next couple of days with some help, which I'll identify. And then the directors are going to have to sign on. It takes six directors because I'm no longer a director.
Yeah. I just wanted
to clarify that.
We will find the directors to sign on. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any questions for...
Yes, Paulina to the staff.
Paulina, go ahead.
Lydia, so now that the motion has been approved, what's the fastest way to move forward to amend the bylaws as far as the... what the bylaws say about amending articles of incorporation, because that's really the point, right? So what's the next step forward then?
Well, first of all, I'm still fairly confident that the court would waive the membership vote. But absent that, then the new bylaws says that all it takes is a majority of all of the directors on the PMB to pass something that is costing us money, in other words, that puts us in some kind of jeopardy in that regard. And then I have the second part that I added in that bylaws amendment was if, for example, there was something proposed by the state that says effective January 1st, 2021, then we would have time to run it by the LSBs as well. It's only if we're caught, as this is, where this was passed apparently years ago and we weren't notified until 2018 and then nothing was done about it, and we're being charged an enormous amount of money in fines, that the bylaws amendment process allows for the national board to vote on it. So the portion about the members still needing to vote for anything that materially changes their right to vote, as in LSB elections and so on and so forth, still remains intact. That's not changed, and that doesn't impinge on this. It only allows for these exigent circumstances to be incorporated into the bylaws thing. So it would have to be at the end of this bylaws timeline, which is why we had to get it started as soon as possible. But as I said, Jan's recommendation is well taken if I can figure it out in my head with Jan's help.
Lawrence to the staff.
May I have a 15-second follow-up?
Okay, go ahead. 15 seconds, Paulina.
15 seconds. Yes. Lydia, what do you know about the situation at KPFT with? I will draw my question. I'll keep it for executive session. Thank you.
Okay, Lawrence and Tom.
Thank you. I forgot to mention that Fernando Velasquez, a seasoned journalist from KPFK, is also part of the task force. So my question is to Lydia. In your report, the email that you sent out earlier today in regards to reporting on the $10,000 deposit that was made. I think you referenced to that Bank of America or that we're in the queue to be, you know, to be considered seriously. How optimistic are you?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic now that we have confirmation of both, and that apparently there's enough funding for both, or you, apparently that's what enables the applications to move forward. And so there again, these are especially the one for which we didn't get that $10,000 that was not built into it. The one that is out of the CARES Act. And that one is predominantly in order for us to pay for our staff so that they don't join the unemployment lines. Based on our payroll, it would be about 2.5 months, and it's forgiven. That's not a loan that we have to pay back. The other one is a loan, and some of it is about payroll, but it is also other things, which we hope cover of what we would regard as mortgage payments on the loan that we know about, and that gives you 30 years to pay it back, and that's a larger sum. And so again, we're optimistic about both. That's the one that they gave us the $10,000 just for applying.
Mr. Chair, this is your timekeeper, Paulina. We're time for this agenda item for the IED report. We're 15 minutes.
Okay. Can we hear from Tom? Do you have a quick question? Can we just hear from Tom?
I certainly hope it's quick. My understanding is this last payroll round, KPFA, or I'm sorry, KPFK was fairly, was short on making their payroll, and the affiliates program was nice enough to come up with that shortfall to pay payroll for KPFA and maybe a slight bit to WBAI. My question is, what's the procedure, or is there a procedure to pay that back to the affiliates program so that they can carry on their work?
Absolutely. So part of it has already been reimbursed, as I said, from WBAI, and that should be paid back to affiliates imminently. And then as soon as, the reason that KPFK was able to make its payroll this time was because it had a trust bequest that started back in 2019. I don't know if it's a bequest, though, but it is a designated trust for KPFK, and that additional funding helped them make their payroll this month, but it would look bleak for another month. That's why we're really hoping these other loans come through. And as soon as they do, we start reimbursing affiliates for sure. That's on there as an imminent, as something that we would immediately replace as soon as we get this money.
Okay.
Alex, one quick thing.
What is it, Grace?
I just want to thank Lydia for all her very hard work and very effective prioritizing and excellent shepherding of the loan process and, you know, keeping the staff paid, et cetera, et cetera. And much appreciated.
Jay, I got a point of order. This is Lawrence.
Here.
Okay.
What is your point of order, Lawrence?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to echo Grace. I'd like us to prioritize the items on the agenda as first order business for our next meeting.
Well, okay, if we finish the work of the closed session before midnight, we have a possibility of returning to this meeting. However, from my experience, I think that possibility is rather remote.
Well, let's be optimistic, right? Thank you.
Okay.
If not, I like that motion to stand.
This is Lyndon. I think I was on the staff. You were, I can hear you, but can you make it quick? Go ahead, Lyndon. Sure. And this is going to relate a little bit to our next meeting, whenever it is, with Dwayne's, one of his motions. So, Lydia, do you have a current list of all the people employed through Pacifica and the stations, you know, their status, full or part-time, the hours they're supposed to be working, benefits, dues, et cetera?
None of that. I have requested... None of that. When I have an idea of who's working where and whatever.
Right.
When I was here in 17, I used to get regular, I used to have payroll records sent to me, twice a month, every time payroll is cut. That has not been the case. I have asked that tomorrow they send me the whole payroll records. That tells part of the story. That doesn't tell all of the story. I have requested from some of the general managers that were at least, you know, prepared to furlough, or some people even asked to be furloughed, and because they're afraid of COVID-19 and so forth. So there are a lot of reasons, a lot of changes and so forth. And in both cases, it involves the union. And it also involves pension numbers, and it also involves, and this is something that I would like to identify, that's at least one general manager, because it would involve more. He did have a list of people to furlough before the loan situation, and he has in mind having to cut some staff permanently at some point. Let's see if that's necessary. And as I said, the funding from the loan takes you 2.5 months. And so you have 2.5 months to not only prepare on the part of the foundation, but also to prepare our employees so they're not caught off guard either. They should certainly know. But I think there has to be a list, not only of the numbers, but also of what each person does. It has been my experience in Pacifica that you have an on-paper job description, but then what they really do at the station is different, or it hasn't been updated, or they take on more, or they don't do everything that's on paper. So that's part of it. It doesn't give me really an idea of how essential, since we are now especially using that word in relation to COVID-19, is what determines what is essential at a station. We already know some of what's essential. We know an engineer is essential, everywhere. And so then beyond that, then you determine what's essential and how much, what is the level of staffing that particular function requires, how many people need additional assistance, do they really need, and, and all of those things. So I have been grappling with the notion, I'm not proposing it, but grappling with the notion that at the different LSBs, that there might be some function if the general manager proposes XYZ with XYZ job descriptions and all of the information that you would need to make some staffing adjustments, that the LSEs might be in a valuable position to help assess that and at least do as they do with the GM hires, where they at least make a recommendation, which may or may not coincide with what the GM is thinking or with what I am thinking. And obviously from this motion that's on the agenda, that the PMB may want to and should take have a role in that as well. We want to make sure that none of this is partisan and none of it is, you know, we've gone through a really difficult period over the referendum. And so we want to make sure that we are on very firm and humane ground also as we evaluate all of these situations and keep as much of our staff as we possibly can. This board has not produced budgets. We are finally getting, I think I reported last week that we're very close to completing the audit, and we're current in our payment of the auditors. All of that is really positive, and that all of those things combined, and what I saw as some real involvement at the National Finance Committee level, that we can start really doing our normal work that we did years ago, which is to actually create budgets and create them so that they're realistic. And that is where you also determine what your staffing needs, and you need all of that payroll information in there. So yes, I'm in the process of getting all that as well.
Thank you.
I took so long to go into all that detail, but.
Thank you. Okay. We are out of time, and I think we need a motion to adjourn, and then we will
go into closed session.
Okay. Any objections? Okay.
How much time before we come back?
Alex, let's give this. Yes.
Alex, this is Heather. I object for just 1 second. I want to make quick comment, if that's possible. Just 1 second. 1 minute.
I'll
be quick. I just want to thank Tom for bringing up the issue of the affiliate loaning money. And Lydia, I thank you for your comments as well. I need to say that we're looking forward to that money being reimbursed. So thank you so much for working on that. So we're looking forward to that becoming a reality. So
yeah,
thank
that's
you.
A priority. It was a
thank
short
you.
Term. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll resume in closed session. I hope everybody has the call-in numbers for the closed session. The open.